All right, you want to get started?
Oh yeah, I'm ready. Feeling good. I got a nice, relaxing, warm home. I actually put the heater on 2 days ago for the first time over here. It's unusually cold here in the West Coast, and unusually warm for you guys in the East Coast. A little bit strange. It's been like really cold. Like last night went down into like the low 30s, which is insanely cold for here. And the high today was only like 55.
The projection for Syracuse for Christmas Day is possibly up to 70 degrees.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what's happening.
It's coming in January. 9 feet of snow is coming the third week of January. You heard it here first from meteorologist Dan. I once had a mattress rigged to the top of my station wagon in a snowstorm. That was fun. That was a nice cozy drive to Yukon from Syracuse. All through the mountains, you know, just the, it was, what the hell are they in West Massachusetts? What are they called?
The Berkshires?
Yeah.
Don't you have a, doesn't the dorm room supply a mattress?
This was off campus. This is apartment living.
Ooh, Celeron.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's start, Dan. Hi, just everyone. You're listening to Hot Northeast Weather Talk with Tom and Dan.
Hey.
This is the Take the Points podcast. And we've got a special episode, a very special episode, Dan. This is like a TGIF's, you know, when like Urkel got raped or something. It was like a very special episode.
Very serious episode, yes.
Yes. I'm your host, Stefan Urkel, and I'm here with Dan Partridge, live in Phoenix, Arizona. And it's our bowl game spectacular on Take the Points. So part one of our bowl game spectacular, I should say. So we're ready to go. I've got my adult beverage. Dan's relaxing. I got the booze. Dan's got the chronic. The Lakers will not be beating the Supersonics.
Something like that. See, you always think I'm smoking weed, but this is just my vape, and I just want to make that clear. Thank you very much.
It's hard to tell the difference.
It is. Fine. I mean,
marijuana's practically legal.
Out here in the West Coast, like everyone vape, or not, I mean, sorry, not everyone. There's a lot of people who vape, and you can do it pretty much everywhere, but like people smoke kind of like weed-ish type things using a similar system, and it's kind of hard to tell which is which, and you see it all over the place now. It's pretty crazy, so I don't know. They're going to figure something out, but it's pretty wild right now to see it. Like if you're walking around like Arizona State, like who's vaping, who's actually smoking chronic, you really can't tell.
So really, you think there's a lot of incognito marijuana smoking going down in public?
Oh, everywhere now. I mean, dude, everywhere. Movie theaters, restaurants, airports.
Is there a way to mask the smell so it smells like cherry soda or whatever the hell your vape smells like?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, something like that. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. And I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, you just kind of see it everywhere at this point. It's kind of funny.
How long until marijuana and gambling are legal nationwide and people can just like enjoy themselves without stupid rules?
I would say about 8 years to get the entire country on board for both. And
who's going to be the last holdout? Utah?
No, it's good. No, no, no. Actually, they're going to be early, and I'll explain why in a second. No, it's going to be like Kentucky or like some like Alabama or some southern place like that. Actually, Utah, they have Mormons, as you know, and if you go to the airport in Salt Lake City, it's the only airport left in the whole country that you can walk around and smoke inside of, because they're really nice and they don't want to ever, like, I don't know, piss anyone off or something. But in Utah, you can smoke inside the airport, and I knew a lady who worked there, and she said it had to do with the Mormons wanted to be welcoming to everybody. So, random.
I love Mormons. I've said it many times.
They're super nice, man. They're all over the place in Arizona. They're all really polite. I love Mormons. Could not be happier. They're very cool.
They're great people, and also I admire the Mitt Romney sideburns, which as I get older, I'm trying to age gracefully. It's one of my great life mysteries whether Mitt Romney gets the silver line just on his sideburns, or whether he goes silver all over and like colors in the rest of his hair. I still can't figure it out, because it's weird if somebody just gets gray hair just on their sideburns.
It's a bit strange.
But about roughly 12 years from now, that's the look I'm looking to get.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
So we got to get Mitt Romney on next year's podcast, and we'll ask him about that. We'll ask him about the, we should have called him today. We could ask him about the Holy War and then about his sideburns.
Yep. Check, check.
All right, Dan, as entertaining as this is, I'm sure, for people, we want to talk about some bowl games. So let's start with our yearly disclaimer that we always give. I'll let you handle it. What do you look for, and what are the keys to gambling in bowl season? Because it's a little bit different.
Bowl season is like the hardest single way to make money gambling, I think. Like, do not go overboard wagering on any of these games until they're really important. Like, obviously, like, you know, like the playoff. Outside the playoff, motivation is a huge is a huge motivating factor. Haha. Motivation is really important, because some teams may have played for a conference championship and lost, and now they're not playing in like a, say, New Year's type, you know, cool spot like Florida. Instead, they got to play like in like Idaho, and like that's motivation. Injuries, players wanting to show off their individual skills for the NFL draft. Interim coaches, regional games, a lot of like home teams. I mean, there's like what, 41 bowl games or something absurd this year. And there's a lot of home teams just so they can fill, you know, local stadiums. We'll see it a whole bunch of examples going through this podcast and next one, of course.
Yeah, your Ticket City Bowl or whatever, the Cactus Bowl in your hometown featuring Arizona your home State. School. Which we will not get to in this podcast, but that's a prime example.
Exactly. So, and there's a whole bunch. Like, it's unbelievable this year, like, how many there are. It's stupid. But, so anyway, there's a lot of factors on top of just X's and O's and, you know, motivation to, you know, go undefeated or play for a conference championship. It's really hard to figure stuff out. And, you know, moral of the story is, if you're a person who likes to bet underdogs, you'll probably enjoy this bowl season, because I think that you should be taking underdogs, because motivation's hard to know and all those other factors, and laying points is just really hard in bowls, I think. And look for me to pick a lot of underdogs. I don't know, we'll see what Z does, but it's gonna be a wild bowl season. Here we go, 41 bowls, let's do it.
Yeah, my natural inclination is to take the points in almost every bowl game when I'm unsure. And there's a lot, let's be honest, even us who follow college football pretty thoroughly, there's a lot of these random bowl games and teams that we weren't able to follow much throughout the year. There's a lot of guessing games. Every pool I do, we just pick straight up, and it's still hard enough to get them right. So I lean toward taking the points when in doubt, but let's go through game by game and see what we got. Let's see. Dan, we start off throwing it to you, the New Mexico Bowl. New Mexico versus Arizona. I got the lines earlier today, so they should be somewhat accurate. Arizona is a 9-point favorite. Over-under is 65. And this game, of course, kicks off on this Saturday, the 19th, at 2 p.m. So this is your region. It's got your name all over it. Take it away.
I am very informed on this game for no particular reason, for such a crappy game.
Well, okay, it's right in your wheelhouse geographically, and you do love Rich Rod, and we both love New Mexico and their rise to glory after years and years of shittiness.
That's right. 6-6. So anyway, first of all, here's your first home game in New Mexico, but also to go from Tucson to I believe Albuquerque. I mean, that's only like a 4-hour drive, so it's like equal home games. And a 4-hour drive out here is so easy because there's nothing in the middle, and the speed limit's 75, and there's no snow. But anyway, this is a complicated game. First of all, for Arizona, they get their quarterback, Anu Solomon, who's playing. He was out for concussion their last game. The last game he played, they beat Utah in overtime, kind of a big upset. Also, they're getting back Scooby Wright, outstanding linebacker. He is going to want to put on a show for the NFL scouts. He was projected top 15 pick before the season started. Missed most all the year with injury. Now he's going to want to play. On the other side of the ball, you got New Mexico. Weird. They finished 6-6, but they've won 3 of their last 4, including wins against Air Force, Utah State, and your favorite team for a while this year, Boise State.
Ooh, okay? Yeah. I apologize to America for trying to ride them for a while.
And their only one weird like loss in between that was against Colorado State, and it was the letdown game after Boise State, and their quarterback threw 3 interceptions, which I looked up. So anyway, New Mexico is somehow hot. And they're playing at home, and they're getting 9 points. But now that Arizona has their quarterback returning from concussion and Scooby Wright, it makes it really hard to say. This has been a weird bowl game every year. Usually there's one team down about 21, and somehow it goes to overtime. Therefore, I'm going to take the home team and 9 points, despite everything on the other side of the ball. Give me New Mexico in the 9.
Going to take the points. Interesting. Well, you did a lot of research, and I can't argue in particular with anything, but there's no way in hell. I'm still shell-shocked from years of New Mexico awfulness. So I think we're going to disagree for the first time on this one, Danny. I'm going to take Rich Rod with his renewed commitment to the state of Arizona.
He's horrible.
Is that one of those situations where the state of Arizona and the university are like, oh no, please don't leave us for South Carolina?
I know, it's pretty absurd. Dude, Arizona's 6-6 and they started 3-0. They're 3-6 in their last 9 games and they've beat no one. Those wins were against like Oregon State, who's like horrible, and then some other nonsense team, and then the one weird upset against Utah. So
in fairness to them, we never really discussed this. It's been 2 weeks since our last podcast. A lot has happened, Dan. Mark Richt has gone from unemployed to the head coach of Miami.
Instant.
We've begun World War III.
Yep.
Star Wars is about to come out.
Same thing.
But, I lost my train of thought. Got held up with that World War III and Star Wars thing. I forgot what my point is. Oh, yes. We never talked about this, but I kind of think, despite the fact they don't have a playoff team, that the Pac-12 is the deepest conference this year. And I don't know if you would agree or disagree, but I kind of can see why Arizona would lose a lot of their games at the end when they are playing in conference. That's a tougher. I think the Pac-12 schedule, especially in the South, is tougher than most teams across the country are going to play.
That is a valid point. You know, they had a harder schedule.
SEC East, SEC is normally the best conference, but the East was way down this year. Even the West was a little bit down. Big 10 East was good, but they had a couple crappy teams at the bottom. The Big 12 was a little bit down. You know, Baylor and TCU didn't really come through. I think you can make a strong case, and I would, that the Pac-12 was the best conference this year, despite not having the superb team at the top.
Very possible.
So I'll take Arizona, and they're, you know, having played better opponents over crappy New Mexico. Is Bob Davies still the coach there?
No clue.
Okay. either way, they've got to prove it to me before I'm ever going to take them in anything. Arizona -9 is my pick. I'd also lean over, you know, weather permitting. I'd lean the over in pretty much every bowl game.
There is no weather. It'll be fine. It'll be sunny.
They don't play defense in bowl games. A lot of them are sort of like the Pro Bowl in the NFL. Like, defense is optional. Nobody wants to get hurt.
Very interesting.
All right. I've got some theme music for the next one, courtesy of Mr. Brandon Flowers. The Holy War.
It's back.
Yes, stop that. All right, the Holy War is back in Las Vegas, the most unholy of places.
Yes.
Good marketing for this bowl. Utah, -3 favorite over BYU, 54 over under. Two things stood out when I was doing my minimal research, as per usual. First off, you got Bronco Mendenhall, which he is left BYU and gone to Virginia. I think it was you or Spillett who called this the best hire of the offseason.
Yeah, Ryan said it, and he might be right.
Yeah, and I tend to agree. I would have to think about it a little more, but that's a really good hire for Virginia. I think it's going to hurt BYU in this game. Also, I was looking on covers.com earlier, and they sort of do like what percentage of the people think that each team is going to win, and Utah was the highest consensus pick at like 72% of people were picking Utah in this game. So that was like the number one bowl game pick. So with that said, I would have to lay it with Utah. But maybe you have an alternate opinion.
Of course I have an alternate opinion. It's Bronco Mendenhall in his last game. He's coaching the game. They basically have the same amount of talent on each side of the ball. Utah has zero motivation. They were playing for a playoff undefeated season at one point, ranked as high as number 5 in the country. They've fallen off. They don't care. It means everything in the world to BYU. Give me the 3 all day. This is an easy one, I think.
You think Bronco's not going to be checked out of this one?
Oh, no. He's going to be locked in, dude. He coached there like 17 years or something stupid?
72.
72 years? See, I mean, I knew it. I was in middle school.
Let's see. All right. I guess we agree to disagree. We might have to do one of those mayoral style bets, Dan, where I send you a Yukon deepy dough and you send me a burrito or whatever.
Okay. Maybe something like that.
Maybe something that you could actually ship legally and without ruining it.
Yeah. We'll figure something out.
All right, the Camellia Bowl. This is a new one. I have no idea where this one is or what it is.
Chameleon Bowl?
That's what it sounds like, but it's Camellia. Like, kind of sounds like a girl's name.
Celia? Sesudio?
The Celiac Disease Bowl.
Celiac Disease Bowl. There you go. Thank you.
So you've got Ohio, and they take on Appalachian State. Appalachian State, Dan, making their bowl debut. First bowl.
That is correct. They had a nice season there at 10-2. They're actually favored by, what, 7.5?
7.5 line, 54.5 over-under.
Oof. Very interesting. Too many points. I'll take the 7.5 from Ohio.
You know, I didn't really follow the MAC as closely as I do most years, and I don't know much about this Ohio team, but 7.5 in any, you know, early bowl game is just too much. Yep. Just on the numbers alone, I would have to agree with you. We agree, Dan, for once.
We're going to be wrong, so if you want to just lay it all in Appalachian State. Ohio has a ton of injuries, like a bunch, so that's going to be a mess, but I don't know.
I mean, I know Ohio's not great this year, but that just seems like this seems like one of those games where Appalachian State will be up, you know, 37-13 at halftime, and you'll shut it off and you'll go do some yard work or whatever, and you'll come back and be like, wait a second, it's 57-56? How did that happen?
Yep. All I did was went down the street to freaking Little Caesars and I came back and they scored 7 touchdowns.
Exactly. All right, moving along, still on Saturday the 19th, we've got, oh, I got a music for this one too.
You're on fire, Z.
Probably could have picked a better Cure song, but I wanted one that people would recognize. I don't know what this is or why we have a bowl called the Cure Bowl, but we do. And it features Georgia State, also in their first ever bowl appearance. And they take on San Jose State. And San Jose State is one of the... I got to stop this. It's really hard to do music and to talk at once. I don't know how professional radio people do that. Anyway, San Jose State is one of those 5-7 teams that made a bowl, but somehow they're still favored by 2.5.
So, yeah, I don't understand that. The team from Georgia has more talent. I believe this is a road game for San Diego State pretty far. I'll take the points again.
Yeah, I don't really know much about this game. San Jose State wasn't up to their usual standards of being mediocre.
3-9.
Yeah, I mean, usually they're like an 8-4 quality team. And this year they're not quite that good. Georgia State's a pretty good team. I think maybe because they've never played in a bowl and they're only, I think, 2 years removed from SCS. People think maybe that the public doesn't know about them or that they don't trust them, but I like them. I think they're good. I think they will win outright.
I agree. So
that's my pick.
Yeah.
All right, the New Orleans Bowl. La Tech, our favorite Louisiana team this year, versus Arkansas State. And Louisiana Tech's favored by 2, 67 over-under. One thing I want to mention, which is weird about this game, Arkansas State has been playing in the weird GoDaddy January 6th Bowl for like 2 or 3 years. So they're usually, 104 years they've been playing in the GoDaddy Bowl.
Yep.
Back when GoDaddy rented names for horses and buggies. Yep. But now they actually play in the first day. So they're playing like almost a month earlier than normal. I wonder if that will have any effect on their performance.
It's weird. No, it'll probably help them because they're super hot right now. They've scored 50 points in their last three games. Louisiana Tech scores a bunch of points also. This is kind of a home game for both Arkansas and La Tech. Both have a short drive to New Orleans for this game. I can't pick this game because I like both teams, but I will tell you, bet the over because I see it going in the 80s, 90s, or 100s.
All right, my pick for my pick'em pool is going to be La Tech, but I'm with you. This is a really tough one. And if I'm betting this game, definitely taking the over. So I think we agree again. It's good that we've gotten over our initial rough spot of disagreeing, Dan.
Well,
and we've
come back together.
We're the only...
Let's not celebrate yet.
You can tell that we have no formal training in radio or anything like that, because if we were on ESPN, they'd be like, you got to disagree. You got to argue. We're just like, yep, that's cool. I agree.
Next game. I got things to do.
Yeah.
Warriors Suns is coming on in an hour and a half, and I'm watching Curry. That's why I like living on the West Coast.
Colin Coward would kick us in the balls if he heard our style.
Yeah, he can go fuck himself.
Miami Beach Bowl. Now, this is one of those bowls. This is where you want to be if you're a shitty team. Go to Miami, go to the beach, and you play a pretty much a meaningless bowl, but you get a nice vacation out of it.
Yep.
South Florida, who doesn't travel that far, and they take on Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky is very good. Brad Doughty, one of the underrated players in the whole country, a great quarterback. They're -2.5. No question for me. I like Western Kentucky.
I'm going to agree, Tom. This is going to be my first favorite I picked. I think in bowls, when it's nice weather, you should take teams that can score more points, gives you more of a shot when possible. So, yeah, I agree. Lay it. South Florida blows. I've seen UConn, have victories over them in the past. Therefore, they're horrible.
They're worse than normal this year. This might throw people off because you've got not a Power 5, but, AAC, a pseudo Power 5 team versus this tiny team that nobody knows about. But Western Kentucky is the real deal. Let me tell
you
all.
Damn good.
All right, Dan, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. See, the Miami Beach Bowl is where you want to be. The Idaho Potato Bowl, that is not where you want to go. It's like, congratulations on a successful season. Enjoy this trip to rural Idaho.
It's going to blow. It's going to be cold as shit.
So you've got to, so Akron, making their first bowl appearance since 2005, gets rewarded with this trip to Idaho. They get to take on Utah State. Utah State is a 6.5-point favorite, and then a pretty low over-under of 48. This is, by the way, we are now on to Tuesday the 22nd. So all the games we talked about were on Saturday, the Miami Beach Bowl's Monday, and then this game's on Tuesday.
And I can see why it's on a Tuesday, because it's pretty brutal. I believe the same game basically happened last year where San Diego State, a local, Mountain West team, hosted in the same bowl in Idaho, hosted a UB squad, or that was 2 years ago. It's very similar. Akron has a lot of motivation. It's their first bowl game in a while or whatever.
Since 2005.
But Utah's got Chucky Keaton back. He's actually playing. So
Keaton has played like seven games in his 12-year career at Utah State. So I'm not sure how effective he's going to be.
He's gonna pass for 500 yards and run for 450 and set an all-time NCAA record and go out and be the greatest quarterback of all time. Bet Checky Keaton, lay the points. Woodshed cometh.
I hope so. I'm a big fan of Checky Keaton, despite his myriad injuries and inability to play. I look forward to him being the backup free safety on the Steelers next year.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Rams. Like Scott Frost.
He's too good. Yes, he's too good to not get drafted, but there's no chance he's going to play quarterback in the pros. So he'll be like punt returner / free safety.
Yep, some horse shit like that. You're right.
All right, Danny. Boca Raton Bowl. Toledo versus Temple. Temple is a 1.5-point favorite. These are two pretty good non-Power 5 teams matching up. Both teams had really successful seasons. Now, we do have the issue of the coach, Matt, whatever his name is, from Toledo. He's off to Iowa State. I don't believe he'll be coaching this game, but I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
So for that reason, I lean Temple.
I like Temple as well. They've had a good season. They're ranked 24th. They have some good mojo going. I like Temple in this spot.
Yeah, and no disrespect to Toledo. They've had a great year, but that's one of those things. Look for motivation and coaching changes. There's really, the coach is gone. I don't know what's in it for Toledo except to cap off a good season. So now that we've both picked Temple, go ahead and bet on Toledo and they'll win by 50.
Easy money.
All right. The Poinsettia Bowl in beautiful San Diego, my favorite city in America. My Boise State Broncos versus Northern Illinois. Boise State is favored by 8.5. Which, as we said, is just way too much for a bowl game. Over under 55.5, but who knows? What do you think?
I think that the key to this game is Northern Illinois is, I think, also down to their third-string quarterback, and they are screwed in this game. Boise's going to lay the wood to them. I will lay the 8.5 gladly.
Yeah, I mean, I've picked Boise State to win. 8.5 in any bowl game scares me. Northern Illinois, not as good as the last few years. Of course, why would they be without Jordan Lynch? But they've gone from Jordan Lynch to like a third stringer. That's about as big a drop-off as you can have in the MAC. So not good. I would stay away for gambling purposes. In my pick'em pool, I'm picking Boise State, and that's about the most I can offer. That's a Wednesday game, by the way. And another Wednesday game. Ooh, the GoDaddy Bowl. Bowling Green versus Georgia Southern. Bowling Green, a 7.5-point favorite, 66.5 over under.
No head coach for Bowling Green. He's moved on to Syracuse.
He's off at Walmart buying a snow shovel, a new generator, a plow, and a roof rake. He doesn't have time for this game.
He's like, look, honey, all that talk about snow is all overblown. It's beautiful here. It's going to be 60, 70 degrees this week. You'll see. Mm-hmm.
70 degrees on Christmas Day. 5 feet of snow by the following week. Guaranteed.
Well, it's coming.
Dan, can we pause for a minute to congratulate Syracuse? I know we make fun of them a lot, but that's a really good hire for them.
Yeah, impressive hire. Good job.
I'm actually a little surprised Dino Babers would want to go to Syracuse.
I don't know.
It's right non-Power 5 to Power 5. Of course, I'm sure it's more money, which is always good, but I'm a little surprised he didn't get a better offer, considering how many teams need coaches.
Valid point. He could have went maybe somewhere a little bit better, but anyway, good job to Syracuse. As far as this game goes, I still like Bowling Green's offense, but I think that's a lot of points, so I'm going to take the points in this matchup.
I'm with you. I like both of these teams a lot. Bowling Green's missing the coach. Take the points. I still probably will pick Bowling Green, though. I just like the way they've played this whole season in my pick'em pool.
We're good.
Yeah. So congrats both those teams on a good season. Congrats Syracuse on a good hire. And that is it. I had something else to say about Syracuse, but I can't remember, so we're going to move on. And then, like 7 games from now, I'll just interject with a poorly timed joke about Syracuse.
I'm excited.
Bahamas Bowl. The best bowl from last year, hands down. Middle Tennessee versus Western Michigan. Western Michigan, 3-point favorite, 63-point over-under. This is the game last year that ended with the crazy play, and they scored right at the end, but then the team, I think Central Michigan, tried to go for two, and they blew it at the end.
Correct.
But it was the most exciting bowl game of the entire bowl season, in my opinion, if you're not counting like the gravity of the game.
Yeah, it was very fun and entertaining. I like Western Michigan in this game.
Any particular reason?
No, I read some stuff earlier. I don't feel like rehashing it. But I do like Western Michigan, though.
All right, I really have no opinion on this game. I actually haven't even picked this one yet, so I'm going to go with you. Take it, everyone, take our expert opinion. Western Michigan is going to win this game for that's some right. reason that's not worth explaining.
No evidence will be given. Just know that I looked at some numbers and some stats, and Western Michigan looks good.
Now we're moving along to Christmas Eve, or the Bahamas Bowl's on Christmas Eve. This game is also on Christmas Eve. Cincinnati and San Diego State are the two smartest teams this year because they've chosen to play in the Hawaii Bowl.
Yep.
They're not going to Detroit to play in Little Caesars Bowl. They're not playing in some like CarQuest Bowl in the Gulf Coast of Florida. They have gone to Hawaii, and they are geniuses for that. Cincinnati's favored by 1 point. Both pretty good teams. I'm going to go with the Cincy and the, you know, AAC over the smaller conference.
No way. San Diego State's been money for like the last 3 months straight. They've been great. Cincy's quarterback, Gunnar Kiel, is questionable. He may not be at 100%.
Oh, I was not aware of that. If that's the case, important. I change my vote.
Change your vote. Come over to my side, San Diego State, brah. We're gonna do this West Coast style and win it.
Okay, without Gunner, I'm out. With much Gunner, I'm still flight. Picking Cincy.
Much easier flight from San Diego to Hawaii with no stops than flying from Cincinnati to Hawaii with a stop somewhere in California than flying again.
Well, the thing about the Hawaii Bowl, we talk about motivation a lot on this show.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for either of these teams to be motivated.
Gunnar Keel's like 26, so he's going to be so drunk the whole time he's in Hawaii, I'm pretty sure. So, look for San Diego State to actually take care of business.
It's always funny when a guy is like, you know, 21, and they're like, oh, he's so much, much more mature than a 19-year-old. I remember college pretty vividly.
Yeah.
Like, there was not much maturity gained from, in that first freshman year, you gain a little bit. You know, you're off in a new situation, and you're learning to live outside of home. But those last 3 years are just a drunken blur. There's zero maturity learned. And then you're thrown in the deep end of the real world. That's when the real maturity comes.
That is correct, sir.
So I want a 100% Gunner, or else I'm taking San Diego State. Ooh, St. Petersburg Bowl. Speaking of the whole Gulf Coast of Florida, the UConn Huskies, Dan, bowl-eligible UConn Huskies play Marshall. Now, they are a 4-point underdog, and they have a NFL-esque over-under of 44. This game is on, this is the day after Christmas, at 11 a.m. Classic UConn, 11 a.m. game on the 26th.
That's a 9 a.m. start out here, bro. And that's 8 a.m. in California.
Oh, you going to be up for this one? Well, no one in California is going to watch this. But you in Arizona.
I am working that day at 10 a.m. So, yeah, I'll be there at work at 10 for the late first half coverage. I'll put it on the TVs.
You going to put this on the TV at the restaurant, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Now, can you get a Google Hangout game on a TV? Do you need like a Chromecast stick?
I have a coat hanger that I jam into the DirecTV box, and it feeds right back to my old dorm room because I put a coat hanger there in 99.
If you buy an Apple TV, I think this game is available on Periscope. I think you can mirror your iPhone to one of the TVs. I think that's your best bet.
Correct.
Or you just hire someone from UConn to come and just read the box score on the ESPN app and then just perform it in like a theater style performance.
That is a genius, genius idea.
It's all you're going to get. I mean, it's not on cable.
I like it.
All right. The Sun Bowl, sponsored by my favorite car, Hyundai. Got Miami, Florida, and Miami, Florida, and our favorite coach, Mr. Mark Richt.
Richt!
I don't think he's actually coaching this game, but he'll be there in spirit. They take on another favorite of ours, Mr. Mike Leach. Leach is favored by 3, 62.5 over under. This game is 2 p.m. on the day after Christmas. What do you think?
Miami has zero secondary, none whatsoever. That's bad news against a Mike Leach team. Leach, -3, scoring 50.
I like it. Washington State's an underrated team this year.
Yeah.
Nice. I don't know if they're underrated because they were ranked just a few weeks ago, but I'm not sure that all of America knows they've been pretty damn good this year.
If they win this game, I think they actually get to 9 wins, which is pretty good.
Yeah. Lay it all day.
Yeah. No one cares about this game in Miami because they got a new coach coming in. So they can just screw off in this one and completely start fresh after, you know, they finish their semesters. You know, they come back in January, new coach, new everything.
Funny you mentioned screwing off because I just read an article before this podcast started. You want to know what's been going on down in Miami? Players have been teaching Coach Mark Richt how to ride a hoverboard.
Oh, well, see, they're off to a great start. Get ready for a lot of 9-3s.
Yeah, they're, well, it shows, you know, where their mindset is at right now, I think. More interested in hoverboarding than in scoring touchdowns in this bowl game.
Yeah, disaster coming.
So I like Washington State. Not a woodshed-style blowout, but a pretty solid win, maybe 12 points.
Yeah, I like Washington State a lot. I might use some high confidence.
Heart of Dallas Bowl. Southern Miss versus Washington. Mm. Chris Peterson and the Washington Huskies are an 8.5-point favorite. 56 is the over-under. This is a 2:20 start time on the 26th. Seems kind of random.
This game sucks. Washington's actually pretty good.
I agree with you. This is one of the least compelling games of the entire bowl season.
Washington's pretty good, man, and they should be playing in the West Coast. They shouldn't be playing in Dallas. And then, like, Southern Miss is, like, kind of local. They can drive to Dallas. But, I mean, I don't like laying points with Peterson because he likes winning close games, but Washington's a better team. So, oh, God.
Southern Miss is definitely outgunned in this game for sure.
I'll take Washington. I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away. I'll take Washington in my pick'em, though.
Definitely. I don't stay away in the bowl season, Tom, if you haven't noticed.
Did I tell you we may have to do a special? Usually we end this podcast after the championship game. We do like one, you know, 20-minute wrap-up podcast, and then we're basically done until August. But we might have to do a special edition March Madness one this year because last year I started a special gambling strategy that I'd like to share with the public. Okay. That you may want to bring over to college bowl season. I bet every single game of March Madness last year, and I bet the underdog in every game except for the initial 1/16s. In those games, I stayed away. In every other game, the entire tournament, I bet the underdog. And I ended up in the positive. Like, I didn't do amazing, but I ended up winning, you know, a decent amount of money. And I think I think it's worth considering for college football bowl season.
Interesting. Very interesting.
The problem is, you know, you try to do it and then you bet most of the underdogs, but then you're like, well, this favorite's definitely going to win. And then you pick them and then you end up picking like 5 favorites and they all lose. It throws it off. You have to be steadfast in your underdog choosing if you want it to work.
You're right.
All right, Dan, here's a real shitty game for you. I got a lot of problems with this game. You've got the Pinstripe Bowl in Yankee Stadium.
Oh, horrible game.
The 26th. All right, so here's my problem. We got Duke versus Indiana. Indiana's a 2-point favorite. Nothing against either of these teams. They're not great. Indiana's got some decent quarterback play. You know how much I love Duke football, but you've got UConn, bowl eligible. You've got Penn State, bowl eligible. Syracuse and Rutgers, of course, not in the mix, but that's two local teams. Why are neither of them in the Pinstripe Bowl? And Temple. How the hell did they choose? Yeah, Temple. Perfect. 3 teams. How did they get to Duke versus Indiana?
I don't know. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
Does anyone in New York City want to go see Duke, Indiana football?
No one.
I don't know. No. I don't know if our listeners know this. I know people listen from all over the country, but I used to live in New York City. And a little tip for you, there's lots of stuff to do.
Yeah.
So you don't need to go to Yankee Stadium to watch Duke versus Indiana.
Shitty college football game no one cares about.
There's like every person in New York City will have seven different things at that time that they're invited to that are all better than that game.
Yep, that's what living in New York's like.
So attendance is going to be, you know, add up how many players are on each team, and then say like 3.1 is the average number of relatives that will attend. I think you're looking at that as your attendance, maybe like 2,000 to 3,000 people.
Okay.
I'm joking. It'll be, you know, somewhat full.
It's going to be really bad. Like, there's no reason to go to this game. Like, it's totally brutal. Like, people are going to make so many stupid basketball jokes. Hey, is this a big matchup at the MSG? But
used to these teams matching up in, yeah, that's the funny thing. They'll be like, we're used to these teams doing great matchups in basketball, but we never meant to see them in a great matchup in football. And then somebody will be like, it's not really that great of a matchup. Like, shut up.
We got Coach K. Wait a minute. No, we don't.
Could we get Dick Vitale and like Bill Raftery to do this game? That might make it better.
Oh, I would need to be paid money to watch this game. All I know is Duke's got some injuries. They're in a little bit of a free fall. I like Indiana.
Yes. I did not do any research. That's all I got. Is Sudfeld playing? I assume he is. Pick them. Yeah, Sudfeld's a great QB. All right, Danny. The next game is the Independence Bowl. We've got Tulsa. We've got Virginia Tech.
Interesting.
We've got Virginia Tech minus 13.5. And Dan does not have access to a computer at the moment, except, you know, the one he's streaming via. So he can't put on any music. So he's asked me to do him a favor. And here we go. Dan, what does this music indicate?
This, my friends, means that this is the trap of the week. Hannah Montana by Migos. It's Frank Beamer's last game, and he'll get it done, but he won't cover. It'll be a low-scoring game. I like taking the points. Get 13.5.
Well, you may get some bad karma for picking against Beamer, and I will as well, but 13.5 is way too much for a bowl game. Virginia Tech, you know, a lot of games, they don't even score 13.5. So while I don't love Tulsa and while I will pick Beamer to be victorious in his last game, I'm with you. Let's let Migos take us out.
Thank you.
Take the points. All right. I understood like two words from that last sentence.
There you go.
All right, Dan, here's an awesome bowl. Foster Farms Bowl, featuring another of the classic 5-7 teams to make the playoff, the bowl season. 5-7 Nebraska takes on UCLA. UCLA minus 6.5. Do you want to take this?
UCLA should absolutely hammer Nebraska. Nebraska is bad at 5-7. They have no right being in a bowl game. They beat Missouri. They actually lost to Missouri, who has the worst offense in the whole country. Watch for Josh Rosen to put on a show and to kind of spark sophomore campaign. Lay it, love it. Really like UCLA a lot, like 48-17.
Yeah, so my general feeling on these 5-7 teams is more football, I'm all for it, you know. It's not like these games are competing with the college football playoff. This is another game on the 26th on a day where, hey, it couldn't hurt to have an extra game. So I'm all for it. But for gambling purposes, Nebraska is bad this year, much worse than normal. UCLA is pretty talented. This should be a woodshed unless something goes awry.
I agree.
Fun fact, Dan, the last time Nebraska beat UCLA, you want to take a guess? I'll give you a hint. There was
Tommy Frazier.
Oh, there it is. I don't even need to give you a hint. Yeah, Tommy Frazier and Lawrence Phillips in 94.
Yeah, well, that streak's going to continue because UCLA is going to thump them pretty good, I think.
All right. Moving along, we are now on the 28th, the Monday after Christmas, the Military Bowl. And fittingly, it's Pittsburgh versus Navy. Navy, a 3.5-point favorite. It's nice to see. I mean, I know this is usually the case. There's a military school in the Military Bowl, but I think that once in a while they don't have a military school, so it's nice that they do have one. Navy's good, too.
Keenan Reynolds is not going out a loser, and Pitt has too many injuries. They lost Connor early in the year. Tyler Boyd's a great receiver, but Navy's really good. I don't think Pitt will be able to slow him down that much, so I like Navy a lot.
Yeah, me too. Kudos to Keenan Reynolds on a great career, win or lose. And our sympathies, I guess, to Connor, who since our last podcast said is leukemia he has, some form of cancer.
Yeah, very sad.
That's messed up for a college kid. You don't expect that. Anyway, I think we're in agreement there. Take Navy, lay the 3.5. Quick Lane Bowl.
Yeah.
Your favorite. Central Michigan versus Minnesota. 5-7 Minnesota. 5-7 Minnesota, I actually think, is better than 5-7 Nebraska.
Yeah, I agree.
In terms of deserving a bowl appearance, I like Minnesota. And they're favored by 6 in this game, which seems to back up my theory.
Yeah. I'm going to take the favorite in this one, but I don't love it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about Central Michigan this year. They're obviously not up to the standards they were the last couple of years, but I believe they were the team with the crazy Bahamas Bowl, so I'm going to go for another miracle.
Antonio Brown, you.
Yeah, I'm going to go for another Central Michigan miracle. Congrats. Enjoy this win. Enjoy Coach Al Golden in 2019. That's about it. All right, the Armed Forces Bowl. Air Force versus Cal. Cal minus 7. How good is Cal, Dan? I mean, you're the West Coast expert.
Not really good at all. They got no defense. Quarterback's good. Goff's good, but very inconsistent. Air Force is missing their QB. That's why the spread's like this. So take Cal.
Cal's a really tough one to figure out this year because, you know, they didn't finish with the greatest record. They started off pretty hot, and then they got a little worse as the year went on, but they also play great competition. So it's tough to tell if they're just suffering from where they play and who they play or if they're not that great.
Right, I agree.
Either way, yeah, I wouldn't put any faith in Air Force this year. Stay away for me. Cal in the pick'em, stay away for betting. All right, here's an easy one, in my opinion. Russell Athletic Bowl, North Carolina versus Baylor. Baylor, Jared Stidham, doubtful, you say, Dan?
Yes, doubtful.
Doubtful. So we don't know who's playing quarterback. Nevertheless, Baylor is favored by 2.5. 71 over under. I like two bets in this game, but let's see what you think.
I only like UNC. Too many question marks with the quarterback position for Baylor. Man, just tough injuries for them this year. I think UNC played well for a while against Clemson. They're going to go out on a high note. I like Clemson this matchup. UNC.
Okay, so, you know, I said two bets, and then I realized, you know, Stidham. I kept thinking Stidham was supposed to play. If he's out, I don't think you can bet the over. If he does play, I think this is an easy over. North Carolina should win this game outright, though. So I do like a money line bet.
Same here.
And for the reasons you said, Baylor is done. Baylor can't wait to get this season over, basically.
Agree.
Where do you think Baylor ranks preseason next year?
8.
Fair enough. Yeah, they lose some guys, but they get Stidham healthy. They should have some good receiving core once again. Talent all over. They'll be in the mix if they could stay healthy.
Yep. Corey Coleman's gone. But they got Chuck Linwood back again, I think.
Cannon.
They'll be fine.
They'll be all right. All right, Dan. This is your territory. The Arizona Bowl, Nevada versus Colorado State. Colorado State minus 3. By the way, this is airing on. I made fun of the other game for being on Periscope, but that's actually better than what this is really airing on, which is the American Sports Network and Campus Insiders on the 29th. So enjoy that game, three people.
It's totally absurd that this is even a game. Both teams are horrible. Take the points.
All right, moving along. Texas Bowl, Texas Tech versus LSU. LSU, 7.5-point favorite. Where did it all go wrong for LSU?
Never had a quarterback, so they can't, you know, throw the ball where spots where they need to in 3rd and 5.
Brandon Harris showed signs of promise. People thought he had the talent. Could it be a coaching issue?
No.
All right. That's a hot take. No.
I just don't think he has the skills. I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, some guys are just meant to throw the quarter, you know, to freaking throw the football. You're LSU. It's inexcusable. You don't have one of the best arms in the country back there. I mean, it's stupid. But that being said, I might unload my entire sports betting account on the over for Leonard Fournette rushing yards in this game. Les Miles is back. He's happy. Texas Tech has the worst defense of all time. Fournette will run for 300 yards in this game. You can mark it down, stamp it, underline it, whatever you want. 300. That's the number.
You're not really exaggerating too much. They do have, I believe it was the 121st-ranked defense this year. They are historically bad for a Power 5 school. All right.
He's going to kill them. Every time that he gets handed the ball, their offensive line is going to blast them. He's going to be 5 yards down the field before he gets touched. It's just going to be first down. It's going to be bad. It's going to be really funny to watch.
I just don't think, given the way LSU performed over the last month of the season, and they're just probably, I'm guessing, total lack of interest for being in the Texas Bowl when they were the number two team or number one team just like 6 weeks ago. I see this as a real big letdown spot. Even if they win, I don't think they're going to cover.
Interesting.
So, agree to disagree. Whereas Texas Tech, you know, they're, I would say, properly motivated. This is about where they belong. Plus, they're sort of at home. They're at least in their home state, technically.
It's close.
Well, nothing's that close in Texas, but it's probably only like a 14-hour drive.
Valid point.
You actually could be a Texas school and play in a Texas bowl game, and it's the equivalent of, like, UConn playing in North Carolina.
Yeah. When I moved to Arizona, it took me 3 days to get through Texas. I left New Orleans in the morning, and I stayed in Austin, so that was 1 day. I drove from Austin to El Paso, and that was 2 days. And the next day, I drove from El Paso to Tucson, and so there were 3 days I was in Texas.
All right, yeah. Yes.
Crazy.
It's a big state. I have nothing, no insight to add. I've never been to Texas, actually.
It's pretty cool. I've been there a couple times. I enjoy it. And I really want to go back. Either it's not going to be this year, but maybe next year, 2017, for either South by Southwest or Austin City Limits. That'd be really fun.
All right, Dan. I would be in for something like that.
That'd be a really fun trip.
But until then, we've got analysis of the Birmingham Bowl.
Oh, way to seg that off.
Auburn. You wanna just talk about Auburn's season?
It's so wild. Like, you know, high expectations, Jeremy Johnson struggling, early losses.
That struggling is an understatement.
Yeah, like playing horrible. Kind of came together a little bit for a while. Kept Alabama close for a while, but then got, you know, worn down. Muschamp has moved on, so maybe everyone will be happy and play an inspired game. That's very possible. But on the other side of the ball, Memphis scores a ton of points. Their quarterback, Mr. Paxson's going real high. And it's going to be a shootout, I think. And I kind of like Memphis, but something about Muschamp not being there, like, it's like good karma. So I like Auburn.
I was thinking this week, they keep talking about like ISIS and Syria and, you know, how we got rid of Saddam Hussein, but they replaced him with somebody else and things just went to hell. I was thinking if we could do a peaceful exchange, get rid of the Syrian leader and replace him with Will Muschamp, then maybe the U.S. could just stay out of the Middle East and let it collapse on its own.
Agree.
I think this might be the solution to all of the world's problems. Just send Muschamp on a world tour destroying all different countries.
Why not? He's a total hick.
The Muschamp Crush Our Enemies tour.
Oh, what a, he's the worst. I'm so sure. Glad that he's moved on from Auburn, because now Auburn's cool again. Like, I had to like hide being an Auburn fan this year, but now I'm excited.
What do you have to say to South Carolina fans who are just, you know, hoping for the best?
You are screwed. Like, you will not.
You'd make a great grief counselor.
You will not be competing for anything. You're going to be playing in mediocre bowl games. You're going to send some talent to the NFL, but he'll screw it up. Oh, it's going to be a mess.
Is there any chance that this could go right? That he maybe had a like Belichick and Cleveland type situation?
Nope.
Times like it's the gonna four be, places he screwed up.
No, it's going to be bad. Like they're not going to be good. The every year South Carolina final ranking of 9 has come to an end.
Rest in peace. Thoughts and prayers with the South Carolina community.
It's going to be bad.
All right, what game are we on? Oh, do we want to pick that game? Auburn, Memphis?
Yeah, I took Auburn because Muschamp's gone.
All right, I'll take Memphis. Fuck it.
Fair enough.
Belk Bowl. Mississippi State versus North Carolina State. Mississippi State by 5.5.
I think Mississippi State wins this one. I think Mr. Prescott goes out with a win. He had an underrated career. He'll find a way to win this game. NC State is usually only good for their one upset a year at home, and then they suck the rest of the year. So look for Michigan or Mississippi State to get it done and cover.
Totally agree. All right. Music City Bowl, Louisville versus Texas A&M. Texas A&M, despite their myriad problems, is a 1.5-point favorite. Doesn't speak highly of Louisville, although I checked these lines around lunchtime today, so this one could have changed drastically. For those who don't know, your boy Kyle Allen of Scottsdale has decided to transfer, and now the rumor is, by the time you hear this, it might be official, or we might be wrong, but the rumor at this point is that Kyler Murray is also going to transfer, leaving them basically with nobody.
Yeah, that's correct. He is out for this game. They have no quarterback. Kevin Sumlin's offense has gotten worse every year at Texas A&M. Watch for him to be on the hot seat in 2016. You heard it here first. In Louisville last year, laid an absolute egg in a bowl game. They won't do it 2 years in a row. Louisville, easy play. Probably one of my high confidence picks.
Straight up upset?
Straight up.
All right. It's only a 1.5-point line, so I guess you're better off just taking the money line. Dan, what happened to Texas A&M? I mean, Sumlin was, a couple years ago, we were asking whether he should leave and go to Texas, USC, like a big-time job, the pros. Now we're wondering if he can even hang on to that job.
I don't know. It's a combination of maybe recruiting or...
Did he just strike lightning in a bottle with Johnny Football?
No, because his offenses were good in Houston and stuff like that, but... Then again, Houston was always good in offense. I don't know. It's a problem that I don't know, but he better get it sorted out fast because they expect to be competing for a national title. A&M didn't go to the SEC to be a lower-tier team. So, watch for him to get the heat next year.
If you would have asked me 2 years ago and even, you know, a year and a half ago, if Texas A&M was ever going to win a title, I would have told you, yes, they were on a pretty good track to win one within the next, you know, 7-8 years. They were sort of on that like Baylor track where they were accelerating and moving into the upper echelon of college football. But this year was a major, major step back.
Agree.
Tough break.
No good.
Yeah, I'm with you though. I 0% confidence in A&M in this bowl game. All right, Dan, our last bowl game we're going to do in this part one preview is the Holiday Bowl. This is a pretty good matchup. You've got USC with official coach Clay Helton versus Wisconsin. Wisconsin, not a great year, but they're still Wisconsin. They've got some talent. And USC is a 3-point favorite, 51-point over-under. This game is on the 30th. What do you think?
Really like USC in this matchup. They got way more playmakers and can score points. Wisconsin, if you look at who they've won against, they've kind of won against lower teams. They have not have really one quality win on their whole schedule. And USC has more NFL talent, so and it's on the West Coast too. So I like USC to cover.
On paper, USC should dominate this game. They've got the playmakers. They've been playing better the last half of the year. Wisconsin's just not doing great. I would say they have the coaching advantage, even though it's tough to really judge how good Clay Helton is. He seems like a good coach to me. But I've learned not to underestimate Wisconsin. So I'm going to lay it with USC, but small betting amount and minimal confidence. Medium confidence, I'll say.
Okay, then.
We really need some sort of confidence meter. Like that's a 7 confidence or something like that. I guess a scale of 1 to 10 could work. That is tried and true throughout the ages. But it would be cooler if we had some proprietary system of measuring confidence.
Interesting.
You know, maybe we could do it by like grunge bands or something.
Something like that, level
of confidence is like Eddie Vedder. Level of confidence is L7.
There you go.
I've got a Screaming Trees level confidence about this game.
Veruca Salt.
There you go. We'll work on that. We'll come up with something.
Okay.
Well, that's it. So what we're going to do, I guess, is come back in about a week and a half with the next podcast. That's when we'll get into the playoff games and all those January 1st and 2nd bowls.
Yes.
And then we'll do one final one for the championship one, a short one.
Correct.
So unless you have anything to add, I guess that's it.
I think I'm good. Enjoy the bowls. It's going to be wild. Expect some teams not to show up. Expect some blowouts and some shootouts and some stinkers and maybe a 9-3 game or something. It's going to be a mess. Try not to lose all your money. Spend it on Christmas gifts for your loved ones instead.
Here's the deal with bowl games. Everyone complains about how shitty these bowl games are. Oh, it's the Caesars Bowl, the CarQuest Bowl. I know I'm naming ones that are old and don't exist anymore.
Well,
it's the Hun.net Bowl or whatever.
Yeah.
But once they start playing, they're all really close and exciting. A lot of underdogs win. Teams score in the 50s and 60s, and it's amazing. So that's going to happen again this year. Try not to make fun of it too much because you know you're going to end up enjoying it.
Correct.
One other thing, Dan, I forgot. I wrote down these early championship lines. I'll throw them out. You tell me if you have any take on this. Seems like Michigan State is being really underappreciated. So early championship lines. Well, let me first say the playoff line. So you've got Oklahoma's a 3.5-point favorite over Clemson and Alabama a 9-point favorite over Michigan State. If Bama were to win, they would be -3 over OU and -4 over Clemson. They'd be the favorite in the championship game. If Michigan State were to win, they would be underdog versus both teams, -7.5 versus Oklahoma and -4.5 versus Clemson. And then the championship odds are Bama even, OU +200, Clemson +600, Michigan State +650. I guess I am wondering why the team that won the Big Ten and knocked off the reigning college football champion and the only team that's undefeated are like the two big underdogs.
Well, I understand why Clemson's an underdog because they've never really played on the spotlight. They've always been viewed as like a team that is really good in the regular season or like early part of the season but kind of folds late and people are expecting them to fold. And Michigan State is extremely undervalued. We'll talk about that next week. I have a lot to say about that, but I really don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, it seems I understand Clemson. The ACC is the fifth best conference, so they're just not going to get that respect. Michigan State seems like they're not getting respect. We will revisit that, but it'll be interesting to pay attention over the next couple weeks to see if D'Antonio or any of the Michigan State players, use that as motivation or get fired up that they're being undervalued. You know, if there's a
yes, For sure.
A quote-unquote nobody believed in us style team like there is most years. They seem to be the team primed to do that.
That is correct.
But we will save that for another time, Dan. You off to the midnight screening of Star Wars now?
No, I'm a real man. I'm not a child. Therefore, I'm going to watch Suns Warriors.
You know, I've never seen a Star Wars.
Me neither. Me and you were the only two people ever.
Me and Mahoney went when they re-released the original Star Wars trilogy. Me and our friend Kevin went to the theater for The Empire Strikes Back, but I fell asleep for like half of it, so I don't really count that.
No.
And then otherwise, I have seen nothing. It seems really stupid to me, but again, a lot of people like it. I will not be seeing it. So if anyone wants to spoil it, feel free to tweet me. You can tweet all the spoilers you want. I encourage it. Dan, you can hit him up on LinkedIn. You can recommend him for vape management.
Yes, please do.
Vape filling.
I'm very good at vapes.
Anything else you would like to be recommended for on LinkedIn? I'm dangerously close to 100 links. Dangerously close.
I'm on time a lot. Is there something for that? Like, I'm pretty punctual.
I don't know. There should be. That is a very important quality of high-profile business executives.
That's really my only skill. I may not be good at, like, once I get there for something, but if I tell you I'm going to be there at 8, I'm going to be there at 8. I'm pretty good.
That's Dan Partridge. I may not be good, but I'll be there.
That is correct. 24/7. I treat my job like that. You can call me any minute of the day, and I'll answer, and I'll go, what's going on? I may not give you the right answer, but I'll answer.
All right. On that note, everyone, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Festivus. Happy Saturnalia. Enjoy your next week. We will be back with another podcast, part two, sometime, you know, a few days after Christmas, probably early in that following week.
Yes.
We'll get into the playoff games then.
Yes, it's going to be kind of like the Use Your Illusion 2. Like, it's going to be more of a concept podcast next time. So
what you're saying is we will make 12 good bowl predictions. 11 of them will be in the next podcast, and this podcast will have one.
That's what I was going with.
But it'll be one really, really fucking good one that lasts like 10 minutes.
We nailed one of these games and we got all the other ones wrong, but next podcast is when we might start getting some right. That's usually how bowl season works. I get all excited and then those confidence pools, I like rank these early games high, and then I'm eliminated somewhere like 3 days before New Year's Eve. That's usually when I'm eliminated. So this year I'm going to try to hold off on my high confidence stuff to late so I can at least have a good sweat.
I always lose our pick'em pool, and I almost always lose it to one of my two brothers, which is funny because they do not have college football podcasts. So technically, I should be the one who knows in the family, but they always beat me. And it always comes down to, like, you know, something like the Bahamas Bowl, where a team scored on an 8 lateral play, and that always ends up deciding the whole thing. So I look forward to losing the Cure Bowl. And that'll determine my fate for the rest of the time. But I will report back on my progress next time. Happy holidays, everyone. And until then, goodbye.
Peace. Take the point.